Jack Bailey. Welcome back to the Blue Line Report. So happy to have you back this week. If you're a Jays fan on TikTok, you've definitely seen one of his videos. He is known for being Kikuchi's biggest fan, dressing up in full gear at games, and yelling about all things Jays. Today, we're so excited to be joined by Johnny from the Gate 14 podcast. How's it going, man?
What's up, buddy? How we doing? Doing good. Yeah, great weekend. Weather's buzzing here. I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for coming on. And today we're going to be talking about all things Jays because I know that's your specialty. So let's get started. It's been a pretty mixed bag for the Jays this year. What's your thoughts on the overall season?
Listen, I said it on the podcast today. I think this is the best Jays team of my lifetime. Obviously, bias aside, I think the bullpen's really good. Starting rotation starting to figure it out besides Alek Manoah. The offense is incredible. I just think this team's special. The defense is really good. I mean, Matt Chapman, a couple blunders, but he's still a gold glove third baseman, platinum glove third baseman. I do think this team's really special. And obviously, this year has been weird, but the record shows it's just an unbelievable record. And they just swept the best team in the NL. So
yeah,
it's been a good weekend. Been a good year so far, in my opinion.
No, it's a very talented team. I completely agree. The last time, like I remember, the last like really good team for me would have been the 2015 Jays with the Bautista and Encarnacion or Donaldson. But yeah, no, this team has definitely talent to rival that team and even be better than them this year. But they've been kind of streaky the last little bit. I mean, they went into Boston, got swept there. Then went to Pittsburgh, swept them, then got swept in two games, but still, I guess, technically a series sweep from the Phillies, and then just sweeping the Braves. So they've been trading off back-to-back sweeps. Like, why are they so streaky, do you think?
That's just baseball, man. I mean, it doesn't really happen to other teams, I guess, but that's just, like, Toronto Blue Jays baseball. That's, like, the best way I can describe it. Yeah, it's just the highs are high and the lows are low. There's really nothing in between. No, like, losing series 2-1, none of that. It's either they sweep or they get swept, which I kind of love because it's the highs rule and the lows suck and it makes for good content. So I do love it, to be honest. I think it's all time.
Yeah, no, like it's an interesting team this year. And I mean, the Jays are in by far the most entertaining division in all of baseball in the AL East. Every single one of these teams are above 500. If they were to finish off the season and of all teams above 500, they'd be the first team to ever do that in the whole 1,000-year history of baseball. Like, it's crazy what's going on in the AL East.
Yeah, no, the AL East is an absolute wagon. The team, there's going to be three teams in the playoffs this year from the AL East, obviously. I mean, the rest of the divisions are trash, like the Central, the West isn't that good. So, yeah, it's definitely a hard division, but with the schedule this year, you're not really playing as many AL East teams as you would in previous seasons, so I do think there's going to be a little bit of, like I said, I do think the Jays' record is going to be better than it has been before, just having to face these other teams that they've never had to play before. So I'm excited to see it. And obviously, like I said, the Jays are going to end up facing an AL East team in the playoffs. That's just in the wild card game or whatever it's going to be. They're going to end up having to play an AL East team.
For sure. Like that division's so tough. And the way the playoffs work now with the three teams in the division, like there will eventually end up playing an AL East team.
Yeah.
If you had, I know it's really early in the season, you don't want to be the, I want them, but if you had to pick, like, let's count the Red Sox out, because I think they will fall off here a bit, but let's say the Yankees and the Orioles and even the Rays, if they were to fall down a bit, is there any, like, team you'd want to prefer, like, you think the Jays would match up a bit better against?
In the playoffs? Probably the Twins. I mean, I know the Twins pitching is really good, but it's not an AL East team. Team in a weaker division, obviously, leading a weak division. I know their pitching's good, but I would rather face the Twins than facing the Orioles or the Rays or anything along those lines. I'd personally face the Twins. I am under the tank for third wild card the propaganda here. I do want to face the Twins. I don't think they're that good compared to the other teams.
That makes sense. I mean, yeah, like the Rays look unbeatable right now. They only have 11 losses and we're 2 months into the season. Like, it's kind of ridiculous what they're doing. I mean, they had the big stretch of the...
For sure.
12 games won before they lost one, right?
Yeah.
So, like, ridiculous what that team did. And the Orioles, even, like... I don't know. I wouldn't be terribly, like, mad as a Jays fan if they got the Orioles just because they don't have the necessarily experience in the playoffs where this Jays team has minimal experience, but compared to the Orioles, has a wealth of knowledge of the playoffs, you know? Like, I think if they were to play a team from that AL East, I want Baltimore out of the three. But even then, Baltimore's got such a talented team. Like, it's really...
Their pitching's not that good, though. I guess, yeah, if we were picking from the AL East, I'd pick the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
Their pitching's not that good. Their bullpen's kind of come back down to earth, I guess, compared to what it was last year, the first half of last year. I would prefer the Baltimore Orioles in the AL East over the Rays. And obviously the Yankees are the perfect because their lineup is terrible. But yeah, I would prefer Orioles or Yankees, to be honest, too, I guess. You can make the case for both of them.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be fun to watch the Yankees and Jays because I know, I mean, Vladdy in the offseason has been trying to build up that rivalry. And
so yeah, for sure. Yeah.
For the Yankees. So, I mean, yeah. That'd be fun. Like, what are your thoughts on, like, a guy like Vladdy calling out the Yankees?
I don't know if he was really calling them out. It's just Yankee fans being absolute losers. I don't know. It just, I mean, he just answered a question. Like, he said he would never play in New York. And he loves facing the Yankees. I mean, there's nothing really crazy about that. I guess the media amplifies it, especially when you're dealing with two markets like Toronto and New York. But, I don't really care for it. It's whatever. I mean, he's kind of silenced the haters, especially with what he did at Yankee Stadium a couple of weeks ago, hitting, I think it was 2 or 3 home runs in 3 games. So, yeah, I don't really second guess it or really think too much about it. But it obviously is funny just how mad the Yankee fans get with it.
I mean, of course, like you've got like, he's not the first guy to say, I don't want to play in Yankee, like with the Yankees. I know Griffey said
yeah.
at the end of his career, there was only one team left that would give me a contract in the Yankees, he'd retire. So like, he's not exactly. The first guy to call it the Yankees. It's just kind of fun to poke fun at the Yankees. And like,
exactly. Yeah.
But there's been a lot of like media attention for the Jays. Like, I'm a Red Sox fan and my guy is Verdugo. So I know all about the Verdugo and Manoah stuff. Like, it's been, the Jays have always kind of been an underrated team, like national media wise, but they've really like taken the spotlight here with guys like Manoah and Vladdy who are willing to be more vocal, you know?
Yeah, that's the price of admission though you pay. I mean, it's when you have all these young superstars like Bo Bichette, Vladdy, even Varsho, all these guys, right? I mean, that's the price you kind of pay, especially with what Chapman did the first month. I don't really look too much into that stuff. It's just the Jays are like, I don't know, they're still a little bit underrated in my opinion, being ranked like behind the Rangers and teams like that in the MLB rankings list and stuff. But yeah, obviously this team is definitely getting talked about more, and that's what comes with the territory, especially when you're a young team like this. The national media is going to want to recognize you more and talk about you more, which I 100% agree with. So I'm not really too worried about it, but yeah, the Jays are definitely talked about way more now than they were like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, no, they've, like, the national media, and it's the same for Blue Jays getting a ton of national media, and even, like, the Raptors, two teams that are, like, I don't want to say representing Canada, you know, they're getting talked more about when it comes down to, like, media in the States. So I think it's just two Toronto teams becoming more important when it comes to their sport. So, yeah,
for
I think
sure.
It's really cool. I mean, it's awesome seeing guys down in the States talk about Matt Chapman and what he's doing, and, like, he's had a phenomenal year. Like,
yeah, he's been awesome.
He's making an argument for one of the best to be either one of the top three or best third baseman in baseball. Like, with Arenado not having a stellar year this year.
Yeah, I
think he could make the case.
Yeah. I mean, it's still obviously early, but I mean, he's hitting really good. He's kind of coming back down to earth now this past couple of weeks with his numbers and stuff like that. But yeah, no, he could definitely, at the end of the day, with how good he is defensively. I know he struggled a little bit defensively this year, but he's still a really good fielder. He could definitely make the case to be one of the best top, like, or top three or top four third baseman in the league, offensive wise and defensive wise.
Yeah. And like, I remember last year when they were trying to get a third baseman, I remember J-Ram was heavily rumored to be in trade talks or whatever with the Jays.
For sure. Yeah.
A lot of people were kind of disappointed that, like, Chapman's a great get and was a great get because he's such a good defensive player at third base, but I think a lot of people were looking for that offensive bat, and I think they might have accidentally found it in Chapman. Like, he has been cooling off the past few weeks, but like, he looks like just an awesome hitter at the plate. Like, he's batting .317 this year, even with the cooling off of the last few weeks. He looks dynamite at the plate.
Yeah, no, he's a good bat. He's a good addition to have, like, middle 5-6 in the lineup. So yeah, he's definitely exceeded expectations, especially coming from what he did last year. He wasn't really good last year offensively. But Matt Chapman has been awesome for this team. Massive part of this team.
Yeah, of course. And like, He's not the only guy hitting above 300. I believe they have four guys hitting above 300.
Bo, Vladdy.
Kiermaier, I think, is above.
Kiermaier, Chapman, yeah.
Chapman, yeah. So, like it's the crazy depth in this lineup is wild. Like, you got Varsho batting third, who kind of breaks up the Bichette, Vladdy, and Chapman. He's had a weaker, he had a weaker start to the year, but he's starting to pick it up, and he looks like a stud defensively in the outfield. Like, what an out, like, what a defensive outfield out there with
Springer, yeah, Kiermaier, just the best defensive
it outfield. Doesn't get better than that, you know? Like, it's pretty crazy what they've built there out there in the grass. So, like,
yeah, it's all time.
They have offensive depth everywhere in this lineup. Like, Brendan Belt, I wasn't a huge fan. Like, what'd you think of Brendan Belt when they brought him in the offseason?
It was just a veteran presence that has a track record of being able to hit. Especially like 2-3 years ago, obviously it's a while back, but no, he's like, I mean, the last, I think 2 weeks he's hitting like 280, last week he's hitting like 400. So, he's starting to turn it around, starting to see the ball at the plate a little more, get deeper into counts. He's averaging like 4.58 pitches per at bat, which is really good. Yeah, he's a good veteran presence in this lineup. And when he's hitting well, this lineup's impossible to get out. So you saw it yesterday, he went 3-for-5. And Saturday was pretty decent too. So yeah, he's exceeded expectations the past couple of weeks for sure.
Yeah, no, he's been like, I remember when they brought him in the offseason, I was a little worried. I figured it was, like you said, just a depth or a veteran presence guy to help out Vladdy at first and help out the hitters in this lineup, tell him what it's like, because he did win the World Series with the Giants back
yeah.
In 2014, I believe.
He's won two, yeah, two World Series.
2014 and 2012, right?
Yeah.
So, like, he has done it before, and he was one of the best players on that team. So I figured it was, like, a veteran presence, like you said, but he's been good. Like, he started off the season rough, but, I mean, his last few years in San Francisco has been absolutely brutal. So the fact
yeah.
that he's now looks like a competent hitter is kind of shocking, I don't know, for me. But it's, I think his addition, like you said, when he's on, it's going to be a tough out. This whole for lineup sure. is deep just the entire way through.
For sure.
Yeah, no, it's a really good team. I like, this is a really exciting team for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And like you said, the rotation is really crazy. Like, other than Manoa, who I'm wearing the shirt of right now, yeah. it's been, the entire rotation has been really good. I mean, Kikuchi, I know he's your boy. He's been bounced back here ever since he
grew up. Yeah, yesterday was bad, but obviously, so, he's been pretty deep. I mean, when he's bad, he's really bad. And when he's good, he's good. That's like, I guess you could say like what every pitcher's, but you got, people got to understand, like, he's the five guy, man. Like, he's not the guy that's going to be, he's not going to pitch in the playoffs for you. He's not going to do any of that stuff. He's the fifth starter for your team. So he's exceeded expectations out of the five spot. And if he keeps doing what he's doing, man, I mean, this team is, like I said, this pitching staff's going to be really good. And once Manoa starts figuring it out, hopefully soon, it's going to be a really hard rotation to have to face, especially with how good Berríos has been.
Yeah, and like Bassett with the two-hit, full complete game shutout. Like,
yeah,
he's looked pretty good. I mean, at the start of the year, he was a little shaky, but guy has 9 or 8 pitches.
Yeah, he's 8 pitches.
Like, that's ridiculous. I can't think of another guy in baseball who throws as many pitches as he does.
So, yeah.
I mean, I feel bad for the catchers. You got to work that pitch calm.
Yeah, he's been he actually controls the pitch calm himself, which is all time. I love that. And yeah, no, it's like there's nothing to complain about with Chris Bassett, man. He has been awesome for this team. So I love Chris Bassett. I think he's been like exceeded my expectations. I know that's for sure. And it's watching him pitch is a joy. So I really do enjoy it.
Yeah, no, he's been great. He's been a great addition for this Blue Jays team. And the day one starter this year was Alec Manoa, and I think a lot of people are excited and hoping he'd build on that Cy Young finalist year that he had. But do you think Gausman has taken over, retaken that ace spot with the Jays?
Yeah, Gausman's the ace, man. There's not really a discussion for anymore, in my opinion. It's Gausman Bassett. In my honest opinion, that's how it goes. 1-2. Really? I don't think Manoa is the number two guy anymore. And honestly, you can even make the argument he's not the number three guy. I think Berríos is kind of, I trust Berríos currently right now more than I trust, more than I trust Bassett, or sorry, more than I trust Manoa. I don't know. It's Berríos has looked really good. He's shown to be able to get deep into games when he doesn't even have his best stuff. So that's where I stand right now with that. Is I would probably lean Gausman, Bassett, Berríos, Manoa, probably.
Okay, that's a. I mean, I hope he can pick it up, because when he was lights on last year, like, no one was touching his stuff. Manoa was filthy last year. I mean, he was a Cy Young finalist for a reason. But I mean, the Jays, if they can get Manoa back and they have those three other guys, and then Kikuchi, who's the fifth starter, who will, like you said, will become like a relief pitcher in the playoffs, it's gonna be a really hard rotation to hit against. Like, this is gonna be a really tough team to play against,
for sure, man. I'm excited for it. I can't wait. I'm excited to see Manoa bounce back, and obviously Jay's got the Yankees coming up here this week, so all the four out of their five guys are gonna be going today besides Kikuchi, or going this week besides Kikuchi. So it's nut cutting time, so I'm excited for it. This is going to be an awesome week, awesome series for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other part of the rotation, the relievers, they got a really deep relief, like bullpen. I don't remember the last time they've ever had a this deeper bullpen. Like, Eric Swanson looks like he's looked pretty good. I mean, I know a lot of people aren't a fan of the Teoscar Hernandez trade, but he's looked pretty good. Romano. Yeah. Has had a regression year, but it's hard for closers to transition from year to year and be lights out like they were the previous year. So he's been all right. The one thing I did want to touch on and get your opinion is the amount they play Yimi García. And I know he's not a super popular guy here, but man, they pitch him a lot.
Yeah, I mean, he had the best four-seam fastball in the league last year, right? So you're gonna be throwing that guy like that all the time. So listen, he hasn't looked good. He's throwing a weird pitch that he never threw last year. He's not throwing his four seam as much. I don't know what's happening with him, but I still do trust Yimi García, and every reliever has these setbacks, man. It's hard to like gauge or see what's going on until it's like a bigger picture, like a longer stretch of games. But yeah, I still trust Yimi García. I still think he's going to be fine.
Okay, cool. And like you said, we're only 2 months into the season, so it's a 162 game season. There's a lot of changes that could happen.
Yeah.
And but the team is looking really good right now. I believe they're on pace for 97 points.
97 wins. Yeah, I think it's
97 wins. Yep. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm still in hockey mode. The 97 wins. It's a really good team, and the trade deadline is around the corner, I guess, if you're looking for it a little bit. Do you see the Jays making many moves, or do you think?
Yeah, I can see them picking up maybe I don't know. I could see them picking up maybe like another depth bat or a lefty reliever. It's hard to gauge off of right now. I can definitely see them picking up a reliever. Maybe just an extra piece, but they do got Chad Green coming, right? So it's a weird decision to make. Maybe another bat. I don't know where they're going to be. It depends what their record is and where they're at in the standings, but I can guarantee you they're going to be picking up someone that's going to help this team make a playoff push and be big in the playoffs. If it's a second baseman or like second base / outfield hybrid, it's that. If it's a reliever, it's that. But I would probably lean more along the lines of a reliever.
Okay. And it's a weird one to gauge right now with the division being so close and us only being a few months into the season.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, where do you see this? Like, what are your expectations as a fan for this team? Like, do you think this is a playoff push team? Do you think it's a World Series year? Or do you what are your expectations for this team?
I think it's gotta be a World Series. This is, like I said, the best team they've had here, in my opinion, in my lifetime. I think it's got to be at least get us to the ALCS, man. And this team has what it takes to get there. I think you shouldn't be. I think you can't have low expectations for this team. I think you should have the highest expectations as possible. And with Ross Atkins making the moves that he made, picking up these veteran guys, Kevin Kiermaier, making that trade for Dalton Varsho. If that doesn't show you're all in, I don't know what will. So I do think that this team should be at least in the ALCS, man. And anything other than that, they should be disgusted.
Failure. Yeah. Okay. That's fair. And like, I don't want to be that guy, but like, do you think if they weren't going to reach that, because I'm a Leafs fan, so I hear all the time, what if they lose in the first round or what's going to happen? You know, like if they weren't to ever reach that ALCS or reach where the Jays, at least management, thinks they're going to go, do you think there'd be big changes, or do you think it's a run?
No, it's still a young team. It's still a young team. Yeah. It's still a young team. It's hard to pick, but it's hard to like, base off of it, but it's such a young team, man, where it's, you still have a couple years left with Bo, a couple years left with Vladdy, Varsho, all these guys, where it's, calling it a World Series or bust like I did is kind of crazy, but this team is good enough to be able to go to the World Series. So I truly do think that they shouldn't make any drastic changes if they don't do anything, like the Leafs obviously, who just keep doing it every single year.
I think
you just keep running it back and keep just adding the pieces that you should be adding, that like it, what didn't work in the off season or in the season and stuff like that.
I completely agree. I don't see you ever trading like one of the big pieces of the core if it was a bust year. But like, do you ever see them moving on from John Schneider? I know when they hired, or at least for me, when they hired Don Mattingly in the like the off season, I figured he was the interim replacement for John Schneider. If anything didn't work out.
No, Don Mattingly's a terrible manager, man. I don't like everyone's saying he's the replacement. Just like, he's not. I mean, the guy is, it got fired for a reason. Nothing against him. He's just not the, if he's the replacement, this team isn't in a good spot. I think John Schneider's a good manager. He just has to figure some stuff out, make better decisions, obviously, but he's still, it's his first full year as a manager in the big league. So those will come down the road, right?
So you think if Don Mattingly, like if John Schneider would ever be fired, let's say the Jays to go on like a tank, do you think Don Mattingly is not the guy?
I just wouldn't, on a winning team, I wouldn't expect Don Mattingly to be the manager. If you're trying to win baseball games, I just, the people that say that, I don't know. It doesn't appeal to me having Don Mattingly as the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. Doesn't move the needle for me.
Yeah, that's fair. And before we go, I just wanted to talk to you. I know tomorrow you're going to the Jays game in the full uniform.
Yep.
How are you feeling about that?
No, I'm excited for it. I love the content. I love the vlog last year did great numbers and people loved it, obviously. So I wanted to run it back and I'm excited for it. I think I just think it's just hilarious. I think it's funny content. The people love it. So why not bring it to them? But yeah, it's going to be hilarious. It's going to be all time. I'm excited for it. Avery didn't do it with me last year. It was just me by myself last year. So it obviously it was weird, but just having both of us to do like funny little videos and stuff like that for the vlog is going to be all time. So I'm excited for it.
Yeah. And like, how many weird looks? I know you got a bunch of weird looks last year, but like, what was the experience like doing that last year?
Yeah, no, it's just, yeah, people would be like, what's this guy doing and stuff like that. Like just especially, but this year it's going to be a little bit weirder because we're bigger and we get noticed more in public. So people are going to like just see a camera guy following us and be confused with it, which I think adds to a funny element to the funny element to it. So yeah, I'm excited to see where we're at with it. Cause when we did it last year, we weren't anywhere near as big as we are now. So it's going to be weird getting noticed and people like expecting to see us, at the game. So it's going to be all time. I can't wait for it.
That's amazing. And you've been to the new stadium, right, this year?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on the new like upgrades? Because I haven't been. I know a lot of people haven't been yet. So like, what are your thoughts on the new?
It's awesome, man. It adds an element where you go there to have a good time as well as watch a baseball game. And where these sections are now, no one sat there. No one like would go there. It's just it fixes the empty seat aspect of it and fills it. And I think the Jays are third right now in the American League in attendance. So it definitely is putting more people into the building. So they are doing a good job with it. They are doing a good job advertising it. And I love it. I think it's adds a little bit of an element where people who aren't really baseball fans could go to the game as well, and it puts more people into the building. So it doesn't do anything negative to this team. I'll tell you that much. It definitely brings more people into the building, which helps.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
No worries, man. Thanks for having me, bro.
And before you leave, do you want to like plug your show?
Yeah, it's Gate 14 Podcast. You can just, the same everything on social, Gate 14 Pod or Gate 14 Podcast. You can find us there. And that's where we're just hammering out Jay's content, doing stuff for the common man. So like I said, man, thanks again for having me on, bro. And keep doing your thing, brother.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. And we'll be right back.
Our sponsor for today's episode is Podcasters by Spotify. Podcasters is the fastest and easiest way to make and publish a podcast. Podcasters is used by thousands of different podcasts around the world, including our very own. They will automatically distribute your podcast to all platforms, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. The best part of it all is that it's free. So go to podcasters.spotify.com to get started. And thank you again to them for sponsoring today's episode.
And welcome back to the show. I'm now going to be joined by my co-host, Isaac Donnelly. How's it going, Isaac?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Thanks again to John for coming on the show. We really appreciate him talking about all things Blue Jays. And now we're going to be talking about the other major Toronto sports team, the Toronto Maple Leafs. Earlier in this week, you've definitely seen that Kyle Dubas, the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, was let go by the organization. And I want to get your thoughts on this whole situation, Isaac.
Well, for me, I think this is just MLSE being MLSE. Don't forget, they run, I believe, 4 sports teams. Is that correct?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they run the FC, the Marlies, the Argos, and the Leafs. Yeah.
I feel like they have a
and
piece
the
of
Raptors.
The Raptors,
and
the Raptors, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Well, and also the Raptors, the biggest team they own.
Yeah. They obviously have so many teams under their belt that they all operate differently. You can get into so many things with the whole Toronto FC Bob Bradley situation right now, or even what's going on with the Raptors. But for the Leafs specifically, this is for me, I wouldn't have fired Dubas. And the reason being, every single void that Toronto Maple Leafs team had this year, he filled. He put the best team he could out there this year, and arguably the best Leaf team we've seen in quite some time this year. They got the monkey off their back in the first round. And that alone, I think, should have saved his job. But I just don't get what the message from Brendan Shanahan is here. Maybe you would know, but from just a hockey fan perspective, I wouldn't have fired Dubas.
Yeah, no, it's a very controversial take. I mean, as a Leafs fan, I really like Dubas. I thought he did everything he could have at this deadline. I mean, he made 6 moves. No other GM was doing that this year, so he definitely put it all on the table. But for the Leafs to make this move, I think it really shows that they're not going to stand for not winning anymore. And I think that is a positive sign to look at it. As like, this is a very negative situation. I think what happened was, and this is what Shanahan stated in his press conference, is that the Leafs were open to getting a deal done with Dubas, and both parties were very interested in coming back next year, having Dubas be the GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs in the 2024 season. Dubas came out in his press conference and said he was a 50-50. He either wanted to be the GM of the Leafs or the GM of nobody and take a year off. Because like he said, it's a very demanding job being the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, the most popular, at least in hockey, the most covered team. It's a pretty stressful
job. It's a pretty tough market.
No kidding. Toronto
like
is
you, not throat. Even just Toronto, but like a Canadian market where it's the number one thing here. Like we've seen it in the past where even players have like came out and said it's too much. Like for a while when Spezza became captain of the Senators, like way back in like 2013, the pressure of like being a captain in a Canadian market kind of got to him a little bit to the point where he wanted out. But like also for Dubas, again, 50-50, but what's done is done now. Do you see him ending up at another team this season, or
Yeah, so like he came into the press conference saying that he was a 50-50 because like he was feeling a lot of the pressure, and he said he was a 50-50 between being the Leafs GM and not coming and not being a GM at all, not saying he was going to go to be another GM. So I think that hopefully is off the table, and I'll discuss that in a second here. But yeah, Dubas came out and said he was a 50-50 and he had to talk it over with his family, which is completely understandable. I completely get that. Like you said, being a GM in any Canadian market is tough, but especially in Toronto, where it's the most scrutinized market in the NHL. Like, it's a very tough and demanding job. So Dubas came out and said that, and he said he'd give him a week and he'd discuss it with his family and he'd come back to the negotiation table and try to get a deal done with the Leafs. So that entire week, Shanahan has to assume and plan like he is not having Kyle Dubas come back as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And he's got to be thinking of other options. I know there's been a lot of rumors about many guys. I mean, I think the most likely candidate, and I think the candidate that I would like to see most, is Brandon Pridham. He is the current assistant GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs. He was on the board that actually created the salary cap back when they introduced it in the early 2000s. He has been worked with the league for a long, long time now.
He knows his stuff.
Since before both of us were born. So yeah, he knows his stuff and he's been with the team for a long time. So I think he's the main target right now. And I think he'd be our best candidate. But I know even guys like Brad Treliving from the Calgary Flames are being rumored now. It's the Maple Leafs. There's going to be a lot of rumors. So there's a lot of candidates because it's a very highly touted job in hockey, being the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Brendan Shanahan all week had to be thinking of who can I replace Dubas with. So when Dubas came back to him a week later and said, hey, I want to come back and be the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, the only caveat is I want a $2 million pay bump on the offer you had given me, which was $5 million. So he was asking for $7 million. And that's a crazy big jump for a guy who, I mean, has had a great resume so far, has done everything but win. And winning is very important in this league, as you know. Shanahan had it in his mind that Dubas was gone all week. So for him to come back and say, I'm coming back, but I want $2 million more than what you're willing to give me, Shanahan decided, and MLSE, like you said, decided that, you know what, we've been planning for you to leave anyway. We're not going to give you this $2 million extra dollars. We hope you love the year off, and you're going to be a great GM. And you're going to, I believe, Dubas, when he does come back, whenever he
does. He'll be great.
He'll be like, the highest paid GM.
Highest paid GM. And also, the GM market in the NHL is just weird. And, like, you can't blame Dubas for signing Matthews and Marner for those massive contracts, because who's the big boys upstairs telling them what to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Like you saw that with Pierre Dorion in Ottawa for years, having to respond to Melnick's cheapness and having to almost moneyball themselves to try to find players. And Dubas was working under MLSE, which I think their goal was just sign our stars. I don't care how you do it.
Exactly. Give her. We can and we will was his motto.
We can and we will. Sign the boys. And the GM market's so weird because I feel like GMs like to interchange teams when they let go. I don't know if it's just me, but I tend to see that. Maybe we could see a situation where Dubas is in Pittsburgh. There's some talks of him talking to the Penguins this weekend, Fenway Sports Group. Also, some people might call me crazy around here, but if Pierre Dorion was to ever get the boot, if I'm that new Sens ownership with now Matt Sundin to be rumored in some hockey operations role with one of the groups, let's bring in Dubas, Ottawa Maple Leafs, get them all here.
Can we get it off the table right now? Dubas isn't going to Ottawa. I just want to make that very clear to all Sens fans. Kyle Dubas is not going to Ottawa, because if the Toronto Maple Leafs, MLSE, Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment, are not willing to give Dubas $7 million, you know who's also not going to be willing to give Dubas $7 million?
Toronto's little brother,
the Ottawa Senators. So let's get that out of the table.
He just wants to take the year off, season seats at CTC.
It's a fun dream, but let's not twist hairs or anything. I don't think he's not going to Ottawa. Let's be honest here. If he's going anywhere, I think he is going to Pittsburgh. But I think he will try to take the year off because
that's an ideal.
He didn't keep his word. He wants to keep his word. You know, he came out and said he was either going to be Leafs GM or no GM. So for him to turn around and go be the Penguins GM, kind of shitty on him. So I mean,
he seems like a guy of his word, like,
right, exactly. So I think he takes the year off and then eventually ends up in Pittsburgh, because I feel like that's the right spot for him, honestly.
Yeah, I don't see any other market besides the Sens. I'm just joking. It's just a fun little dream. But any market besides Pittsburgh, I don't really see him looking at. Potentially maybe the Flames, but the Flames is a whole other story now.
Do you want to go to Calgary? I don't know. It doesn't seem like an ideal situation.
Right, I now. Think if you can get a job, you'll get a job. If you were if he was still looking to be a GM now.
But I think Dubas, I think many teams would line up to fire their GM just to get a chance at Dubas. Because I think Dubas is a very
highly... He's worth it. He's worth it.
He's a very highly touted GM in this league. Him being so young as well, he's going to be here for a long time.
He has some years ahead of him.
Exactly. This isn't a guy, this isn't a Lou Lamoriello who's only got a few years left in the league, let alone in, I hate to be this guy, but in life. He's an older guy, So Dubas is young. Dubas is going to be here for a long time.
He's smart.
He's going to get a job in the NHL as long as he wants a job in the NHL. So,
for sure. 100%.
I think a lot of teams will be lining up to get him, and he's going to be a highly touted guy.
If I'm a team that's on the fence about their GM, I'm ringing up Dubas right now.
Oh my God, of course.
Sure, as a Sens fan, we've poked at some of the massive contracts he signed. But once again, it's up to the big boys upstairs to ultimately decide that. But he's proven himself as a GM. And Sens fans might be coming at me how dare you say this? You're a Sens fan. But it's just the truth. He's proven himself as a GM. He literally lifted the first round curse off this Toronto Maple Leafs team that has been shadowing over them for the past 19 years. Arguably puts together one of the best Toronto Maple Leaf teams we've seen in a long time. And I'd reach out to him if I was any team unsure about a GM.
He's done a lot of good. Now, I do want to say that he hasn't been perfect. I know we're hyping up Dubas a lot to be a great GM, and I think he is.
Oh, yeah.
But let's not say he's had a perfect run with Toronto. It's not like they're firing him out of blue.
Matt Murray.
Well, I don't even think that's one of his worst trades. I think he got signings like Peter Mrazek and the Nazem Kadri trade. I know he had to trade Kadri, but you got Barry and Kerfoot for Kadri, who went on to be a cup champion and is now making $8-9 million, I can't remember, in Calgary. And is now looking like one of the better centermen in the NHL. Imagine a lineup like that of a Matthews, Tavares, O'Reilly, Kadri. No one's stopping that. But we got Kerfoot instead. So it is what it is.
Again, every GM makes those kind of iffy moves. Every GM makes their mistakes. Moves.
Exactly. So, I will miss Dubas for sure. But I think as Leafs fans, you can't really reminisce right now. You got to look forward to what's happening next. And I think, honestly, the next piece for the Toronto Maple Leafs will be to be moving on from Sheldon Keefe. I think the reason Sheldon Keefe was still here last year, and I think the reason he was going to be here this year if Dubas had not left, was Dubas. Dubas and Keefe have been boys all the way from the OHL, where they coached together in the Sault Ste. Marie, and then on to the Marlies, where they won the Calder Cup there.
Yep.
And then in the Toronto Maple Leafs, obviously, being GM and coach all the way through. So they've been boys for a long time. And I think that really did help Keith, and the reason he was such a big part and stayed without a lot of wavering confidence from the Leafs organization. So I think Keith is probably the next guy to be gone. So it's going to be an interesting offseason for the Leafs. I think a lot of people think they're going to trade one of the big four. I'm not sure how they stand on that one yet, but we'll see. So that could potentially be happening. I think there will be player movement for sure. You're going to get a new coach and a new GM, I'm pretty sure. So, do you have anyone in mind that you think, could fill in for those coach or GM spots? Or do you have...
Coaching roles? Again, you can throw out a bunch of names all here and there. That's just a completely different game, because you could bring up some up-and-coming OHL coach. You can bring up your AHL team coach. You could bring in a guy who's already been in the league. But I will say this, it will be definitely a very interesting offseason in Leafland. Solely because, especially if they do trade any of that big four, I can't imagine what will happen.
It's going to be an interesting offseason for sure. Out of the big four, and if you don't know, just to clarify, the big four, when we're talking about them, we're talking about John Tavares, Austin Matthews, William Nylander, and Mitchell Marner. Out of the four, who do you see is the most likely to get moved?
Most likely to get moved. That one's tough because I don't see Tavares going anywhere. I feel like he's safe.
And I think Tavares, for the reason he's not going, is not because the Leafs don't want to move him. Because I think the Leafs, I mean, I love Tavares. Like, he broke the curse for us. He scored that overtime goal. But I think that if the Leafs could move him, they would. I just don't think any team wants him. Like, he's great. Don't get me wrong. But he makes $11 million a year. No team is taking $11 million a year for John Tavares, as much as he's good. So I agree. John Tavares, out of the four, is probably the most untouchable.
Tavares, Nylander has been someone who... That's someone who we mentioned in the big four, right? I'm not mistaken here.
Yep.
All right. Nylander, that's another one who I'm like on the fence with, because even though Leaf fans have like lashed out on this dude, hyped up this dude here and there, I feel like the Leafs organization has always believed in him. And like in the regular season, he was arguably their most consistent player. So I don't know. It's tough to say. Because a lot of people, yeah, throwing around Matthews to Arizona, like, and all that stuff. But, like, again, that's never that's never going to happen. That's not happening. So I say Matthews is untouchable. Because I don't see the Leafs shopping him around unless he explicitly asks them to.
Yeah.
I feel like if anyone, it's going to be Marner. I don't know where. I don't know how, I don't know details, but I think out of anyone, my gut is telling me it's Mitch Marner.
I agree with you, man. I think Matthews is, I think he'll be signed July 1st, the extension. If he's not signed, I'm a little concerned. But
well, his contract's also up, so that could definitely play a role.
Yeah.
Like they could look at it and be like, okay, who's here for longer? Whose time's running out?
Yeah.
They could just look at that, Matthews, bye, but I don't see them doing that.
Yeah, Nylander and Matthews are up next year. Tavares is in 3 years and Marner's in 2 years. So, like, I think Matthews is going to be signed July 1st, and I think he'll be a lifetime. I think he'll be a forever Leaf.
He should be.
He should be. He's the best. I think it's fair to say by now he's the best, the most talented player the Toronto Maple Leafs has ever had. That's including Sundin. That's including Sittler. That's including any guy that's ever played for the Leafs. I think he's by far the most talented player to ever put on the blue and white. So I think he should be a forever Leaf. And I don't see a situation where you win a trade with Austin Matthews going the other direction. Nylander, he's, like you said, been really good. I know he's everyone's favorite player at hate on in Leafs land. But I think he's been so good, especially in the playoffs. He's been a performer for sure. He's so good. Tavares, we said that, like, it's going to be hard to move him, even if he did want to. So, I completely agree. I think Marner's the guy to go if anyone is going out of that top four, which sucks, like, personally, because I have two Mitch Marner jerseys, so that would really suck for me. But
yeah.
It's Mitch Marner. He's really good, man.
It's so Mitch Marner, and, like, whoever team would, like, want to pick him up, they'd be getting a good one for sure. Like, I mean, it's... Like, saying, like, them, the Leafs, trying to get rid of a big four piece is very interesting because you can go so many ways, but that's just my gut feeling. However, as a Sens fan, it'd be hilarious to see Matthews walk, but I just don't see it happening. I come into this being truthful and non-biased, so.
Yeah, no, I think it will be Marner. Now, if you go by the rule of thumb that whoever gets the best player in the deal wins the trade, then I see it hard to win a Mitch Marner trade because Mitch Marner is so freaking good. But I think he's logically the guy to go. I think if it's any of the four, and that sucks because I love Marner. Marner and Matthews have always been the two guys, and they've been super tight. So I hope he stays. Honestly, I don't think I think trading Marner or any of the big four is not the move. But I think if they do make the move, I think Marner's the correct choice. Now, like you said, I have no clue where he'd be going if there was a market for him or how much we'd be getting back or whatever anything looks like. But just out of like principle, out of the top, out of the four guys, I see Marner moving mm-hmm. the easiest out of the big four.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be certainly an interesting offseason for the Leafs, and we'll touch on this later in the summer when things start to actually move, and this will be around draft time and free agency. That's when we'll start really heating up for the Leafs. So an interesting offseason for sure to come. And before we get to our disappointment of the weeks, I did kind of want to talk about the NBA draft lottery. If you haven't been paying attention, the San Antonio Spurs won the draft lottery, and in the NBA, just like the NHL, there's a generational talent coming into the league. Now, the NBA's generational talent this year is 7'4". Victor Wembanyama from France looks like an absolute demigod.
Unit.
So crazy, man. He's going to be so entertaining to watch. He looks so good, man.
That's the thing like with basketball is that, like, you could say, you could argue in, like, sports that like size doesn't make a difference. Basketball, hello, the rim is 10 feet. This guy probably doesn't even need to jump or like go on his tippy toes to dunk this thing. Like, you're looking at it just from a, you're just looking at it from a casual sports fan perspective. You're just like, what the fuck? Like, it's like, it's unreal. And like, he's going to be so fun to watch, though.
He's going to be crazy fun to watch. I think the Spurs have a guy here. I think Greg Popovich.
They have a guy.
They have a guy. He was thinking about retiring. That's the coach for the San Antonio Spurs, Greg Popovich. I wouldn't retire if I were him right now. I'd coach a few more years.
Let the kid cook.
Wembanyama looks good, man. He's 7'4". Like you said, height doesn't matter in many sports, but he can dunk without jumping. Victor Wembanyama looks special. He is crazy. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does in the NBA.
Yeah. And another thing I love to see is these international players coming in too.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Anything like that's like big over here in North America that may not be as big as over in Europe. I just love seeing those international superstars coming in, growing the game, you know, like, yeah. I think it's really good for the sport.
Who's the last basketball player you could name that came from France? Like, I believe Tony Parker came from France.
Yeah, I think he might have.
I believe. But honestly, France. I couldn't tell you.
I thought you were going to say Europe, and I was about to say Andrea Bargnani.
Yeah, you get a few European guys. And there's, I mean, you can look at Nikola Jokic, and we'll touch on the Lakers.
Giannis.
But yeah.
Oh, Joel Embiid, I think, from France.
Joel Embiid is Cameroon.
Cameroon?
Yeah, Joel Embiid is from Africa. But yeah, again, like you said, international players are kind of taking over the NBA right now. And this is just another guy that's going to lead to that invasion of the American NBA. Yeah. They're coming.
FIBA,
he's 7'4".
FIBA World Cup, honestly underrated. Like,
be scared,
not FIFA.
Man.
I said FIBA, not FIFA. Basketball World Cup is pretty underrated, and it's just about to get even better.
No kidding. It's going to be exciting to watch this kid play. And before we get to the disappointment of the weeks, I do want to touch on the most interesting draft story for me personally. It's the Portland Trail Blazers at number 3. There's a lot of intrigue around this pick because this is the most likely pick that will be dealt at number 3 with the Trail Blazers having a guy like Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard at the end of the season said he doesn't want to go through another rebuild again, which is fair. He's been with the team for 12 years now. I wouldn't want to go through another rebuild.
He's given blood, sweat, and tears.
He's so good, man. And he has a better chance at releasing a number one selling rap album than actually winning the NBA championship. Like, Damian Lillard, Dame Dalla, has had no support in Portland his entire career. So for them to draft another guy, I think would be a slap in the face to him. So I think there's either two routes they go here. I think they try to trade the 3rd overall pick, who is currently projected to be Scoot Henderson from the G League,
yep.
Who looks really good. Don't get me wrong. He's a 6'2" guard out of the G League Ignite. But he's not going to help. he's not going to help the Portland Trailblazers or Damian Lillard contend for a title right now. So I think if there's two routes they go down, they either trade Dame, and I think the only logical situation they trade him to would be Miami, because Miami has the pieces. They need a point guard. Imagine Jimmy Butler, who looked like Michael Jordan's son, and Damian Lillard together, two of the most clutch players in the NBA. The Miami Heat would be dangerous. The Miami Heat might win the championship this year and then get Damian Lillard on top of it next year. They could be
a that really- would be crazy. And like obviously, like with the NBA, what's going on right now with the Heat up 3-1 on the Celtics. And with who was it? With the Lakers getting swept, like
by Denver, yeah.
Kyle Lowry, ring number two, like
yo, Kyle Lowry, yo, I could see Kyle Lowry coming off the bench to Damian Lillard. Oh my god,
want like Kyle Lowry versus Jamal Murray NBA Finals.
That's kind of cool. That's almost like that's Canada's finals.
Part that's two, Canada's right? Final right there.
Exactly. So, I mean, it'll be interesting for sure, the NBA Finals this year. But imagine the Heat with Damian Lillard. Like, what a 1-2 punch that'd be, Kyle Lowry and Damian Lillard, the point guard position.
Coming off the bench, too. Like,
who's going to stop that?
No one's stopping them.
And the Heat have the picks. They have the players. I think Tyler Hero could be going back. They got Duncan Robinson. They got picks. Like, they got players to give up for Dame. And I think Portland could go that way and trade Dame. Or they could try to trade that third overall pick to get a superstar. I think some superstars that have been rumored is Mikal Bridges from the Brooklyn Nets. But then again, the Brooklyn just said they're not interested in trading Mikal Bridges. So I don't really know about that one. I know a heavily rumored one, and I don't know how happy Toronto Raptors fans would be about this. But I know Pascal Siakam has been rumored to be going to Portland for that third overall
pick. Yes. Personally, Siakam has been such an underrated player this season on a team that's been so underwhelming.
Yeah.
But for me personally, I wouldn't mind the move at all. Like, admit it. They're in a rebuild right now.
Of course.
Like,
yeah.
You can't just try to keep coming back and bringing the gang together year in, year out. Only piece that should be untouchable should be Scottie Barnes.
Yeah,
and that's it. And a third overall pick, I would not mind that whatsoever.
This is a guy in Scoot Henderson who could, if there wasn't a 7'4" Victor Wembanyama, could be easily going one or two. This isn't a guy who's like third overall pick. We'll see how he is. Like, this is a guy who could come to the NBA and be an immediate impact right away for this
Raptors. Especially on a team like the Raptors, like
exactly,
they need
1-2 punch of Barnes and Scoot would be crazy. So I mean, that'd be crazy. That'd be really entertaining to see. The only thing I see from Portland's perspective is Damian Lillard and Pascal Siakam going to win you a championship? They're a good duo, but I wouldn't necessarily put my money on the Blazers.
Yeah. If the Blazers were going to go all in and try to like throw everything at this one year, I'd say they take a shot at it.
Pascal Siakam.
But I don't see that happening.
It'll be weird. I honestly see a path where Damian Lillard ends up in Miami and we'll clip this right now for when hopefully it happens in the summer and I'll look like a basketball genius. But it'll be that third overall pick's gonna be interesting. But Victor Wembanyama, man, he's gonna look sick in a Spurs uniform, and Greg Popovich has really got himself a guy here in Wembanyama. So it's an interesting NBA draft. And let's end off the episode with our favorite segment, Disappointment of the Week. Isaac, you want to start us off here?
Okay, there's a few directions I can go with this. I'll give a couple honorable mentions and maybe a third. The first one, I'm gonna have, like, this doesn't really count as an honorable mention. I'm just gonna give a shout out to the Norway Canada game in the World Championships for hockey.
Congrats Norway,
like, good job, proud of y'all, like,
you guys did it.
Like, y'all did it, you beat Canada, good job. Like, obviously, like, as much as I hate to say it, the World Championships are relevant, but that's a big step for Norwegian hockey. I'm going to have to give a shout out to MLSC and the whole Bob Bradley thing with TFC. What's going on is just brutal. You have players like not on the same page. You have one of your biggest stars, Federico Bernardeschi, coming out here saying, y'all don't know what you're doing. Like, that's brutal. Not a good thing. But for me, my biggest disappointment of the week, I know we already touched on this earlier in the show, would have to be Kyle Dubas. getting let go by the Toronto Maple Leafs. I've said a lot on this part already, so I don't really think I need to continue off with this. But actually, this is just an honorable mention. Kyle Dubas, not again being let go. I don't think he deserved it. But hockey's a business, and sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. But my biggest disappointment of the week, it's not really like something that like we as fans have control over, but it's Ryan Reynolds officially out of the Ottawa Senators ownership race. To be honest, my hopes were up so high for this. Like, I still believe the team's going to be in great hands, but it just seemed that everything was going to be perfect and how we all wanted it to be.
This seemed like Reynolds' bid to lose.
It seemed like his bid to lose. You had the commissioner coming out here saying that, like, he wanted Reynolds to be a part of a winning bid regardless of, like, what happened. Obviously, it's up to Reynolds' part.
Of course, yeah.
But, yeah, and now it's looking like a two-man race in between the Alder group and the Kimmel group. And then the monstrosity that is the Nico Sparks group, which we'll talk about in a later episode, because I'm going to need a minute for every person they've brought into that group.
Yeah, it's just crazy over there, man. Nico Sparks is just bringing in anyone who's
willing to chip in, man. Like, exactly. I'm almost like starting to reach out to him on Twitter, be like, hey, I'm a Sens fan from Ottawa. Yeah.
Blue Line Report, partial owners of the Ottawa Senators. Nico Sparks.
I'll chip in. I got like $3 laying around. Like, right? That's good for something.
Chip in a little money. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it for me. What do you got?
So my disappointment of the week. So I'll go with a little honorable mention. I'll shout out the Ryan Reynolds thing. I mean, you guys have been hyped. The Sens have been hyping this up for a year and a half, and for this to fall through, it's really disappointing, guys. Like, Ryan Reynolds was, I thought he was going to be really good. I was really excited for this Wrexham-esque documentary that was going to be coming to Ottawa, kind of like the Toronto Maple Leafs series on Amazon a few years ago. So I was excited for this year and for Ryan Reynolds to come through. But I guess didn't work out. It's kind of funny to me, honestly, that like we've been hyping up all these celebrities, and most likely at the end of the day, we'll end up with a GM.
The Weeknd.
With an owner that no one's heard of. Yeah, I mean, maybe the Weeknd wins, but Nico Sparks doesn't look like they're going to win. Ryan Reynolds is out of there. So if the Weeknd doesn't get it, you're not getting the celebrity, which is kind of funny to me. But it is what it is.
It is what it is. And, like, they're in good hands. Like, I'm not – like, I trust that the Melnicks will make a good decision with this one. Don't get me wrong. Because, God forbid, I can't even pronounce his name. The dude from Toronto that failed to buy the Commanders. I can't pronounce his name. I don't want to butcher it.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Bringing in Nick Kyprios in a hockey operations role? Oh. No, thank you.
Yeah, it's not a good
idea. No, thank you.
Nick Kyprios, as much as I kind of – I like Nick Kyprios.
I like him as an analyst.
He's like a good guy, but I don't know if you want him in a GM role or anywhere close to the GM role. Like, that's not where you want him to be. So,
yeah.
Shout out Ryan Reynolds. A little disappointment. And then I'll go with my main disappointment of the week is the Los Angeles Lakers getting swept by the Denver Nuggets and Nikola Jokic just looking like a beast. LeBron had a real chance to win his fifth championship this year. And I think if he were to win this championship this year, I think he'd pass Jordan in the GOAT debate. So for him to be swept out in the conference finals, and I'm not blaming this all on LeBron, because it's not like LeBron didn't show up. He put up 40 points in that last game. But the Lakers just disappearing, man. Anthony Davis looked so great in that 2020 season when they won that NBA championship. But, man, he's
been
transparent the entire rest of his tenure with the Lakers. Like, he has looked invisible his entire career with the Lakers. Like, he has not been good. So, I mean, for LeBron to do all he did to get the Anthony Davis, the Lakers, for him to be, I mean, they still won the one championship, which is a lot more than a lot of teams can say. But LeBron is out here trying to win 5 and number 6 titles, you know? Like, he wants.
Yeah, he's trying to get there. And, like, you could arguably already make a case that he has. Again, that is a whole other thing for an entire other episode, because there are so many points that could be brought up. But, again, like, it's just Jamal Murray, man. He is like
Jamal Murray with the
cooking the man that haunted his childhood team for years.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the amount of times like LeBronto has been like tossed around. It's crazy, but hey,
amazing.
It's nice that we could say LeBronto's borders ends at Kitchener, Ontario.
Kitchener, Ontario native Jamal Murray looks like a beast out there. And same with Nikola Jokic. Like Nikola Jokic is proven in the NBA. You can give the MVP to Joel Embiid. That's fine. But I'm going to go take the finals MVP. I'm going to get the Bill Russell trophy. I'm going to host
Nikola
O'Brien. Exactly. So he looks sick. So shout out to the Lakers. You're my disappointment of the week. What happened, guys?
Nuggets, good job.
Russell didn't show up. Yeah, exactly. Go Nuggets. It's going to be an entertaining finals. Nuggets, Heat, Kyle Lowry, Jamal Murray. It's going to be an entertaining one. And I think that's going to do it for this week's episode. Thanks again to Isaac for coming on the show. I really appreciate it, man.
No problem.
We'll be back again next week, where we will talk about whatever's going on next week with either the Leafs. Heck, we could have a new coach, a new GM, all in next week. So it's going to be exciting. And again, thank you to Johnny from the Gate 14 podcast. Really appreciate him coming on. Go check out their show. It's a great listen. And
awesome.
Got the vlog. I don't know if you saw it. The new vlog where he goes in the full uniform to the Jays game. Really entertaining. So good stuff over there. Go watch that and check it out. And you can follow us on Instagram at @blue_line_report or on Twitter at @blueline_report_. And go listen to our podcast everywhere you can. That's Apple Podcasts, that's Spotify, or wherever really you get your podcast. So that's been it for me and Isaac. We'll see you guys next week.